from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. Coming up on Forum, advocates and service providers for people experiencing homelessness are struggling to test and house this vulnerable population. Meantime, San Francisco officials yesterday announced the first person at a city shelter to test positive for COVID-19. We look at how the pandemic is affecting services for the homeless. Then, some states are setting up checkpoints at their borders and requiring 14-day quarantines of out-of-state visitors in response to the coronavirus. But is that legal? We ask law scholar Jessica Levinson. Forum is next, after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. San Francisco officials confirmed the first homeless person in a shelter to test positive for coronavirus Thursday. While in encampments, advocates and service providers say they're struggling to provide food, supplies, and testing to a population without access to running water, among other things. Some Bay Area shelters have stopped taking new clients to meet physical distancing needs. We look at the further strain on services for the homeless population caused by this pandemic with Jason Reinking. He's Associate Medical Director at Lifelong Trust Clinic, a collaboration between Lifelong and Alameda County Healthcare for the Homeless. Thanks for joining us, Jason Reinking.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Erin Baldessari. She's affordable housing reporter for KQED News. Hi, Erin.
Hi, Mina.
So, Erin, can you start us off by telling us about the situation in San Francisco and how the shelter had to respond to the positive test?
Yeah, absolutely. So we got word on Wednesday that the public health department confirmed on Wednesday that the person had tested positive. They're staying at Division Circle Navigation Center, which can house up to 186 people. It's located near the 16th Street BART station on Mission Street. And pretty much immediately, public health officials went in to start handing out masks to everyone at the shelter. There had already been some masks there, but they wanted to make sure that everyone had access to them. And they started screening everyone at the shelter for symptoms of COVID-19, taking folks' temperature, and planned to do a contextual look at who this person had been in contact with, who they'd been a close contact with, who they'd been sleeping next to, and may have interacted with, in order to move those people into hotel rooms. And then anyone who's considered medically vulnerable, some, you know, people who are elderly, people who have underlying health conditions who are staying at the shelter, will also be moved into hotel rooms.
Already, had the population at that shelter been reduced because of social distancing guidelines and rules?
A little bit, but a lot of the city is planning to open Moscone Center West, which would have about 400 beds available to allow for more space within San Francisco's existing shelter system. That hasn't, I think it's opening up today, they said, by the end of this week. As of yesterday, it hadn't opened, so very soon. But so far, mostly shelters had seen some attrition in the terms of, because they had stopped allowing new intakes and what they call one-night beds. So most of the shelters, you can book a room for 30 days or 60 or 90 days, and that's your bed for that time being. But then there's always some flux, and so they basically got rid of that flux. So they saw some reduction in the numbers, but not quite the 6 feet that folks would like to see.
And the shelters that have stopped accepting new clients, they're in San Francisco. They're also in Alameda County. And Jason Reinking, I know that you are in Alameda County and working with homeless populations there, particularly in encampments. Have you seen an effect of shelters no longer accepting new clients, then putting more pressure on the encampment population, that population growing?
Sure. We have seen that people have a distinct feeling of wanting to shelter in place, however, feeling as though they have nowhere to go to do that. The numbers in the camps remain stable, and to a certain extent, some people in the camps are actually moving and isolating to areas where we actually don't see them or don't necessarily know where they are, meaning that our service delivery to them is interrupted as they try to distance themselves from the possibility of getting the virus.
Yes, it sounds like you've had to greatly shift your operations to be able to deal with the kinds of challenges that the pandemic is bringing. Can you describe some of those things and what's happening?
Sure. We have typically teams of a nurse, social worker, and an outreach worker together with the provider, which is funded by Alameda County. And these teams have been going out for almost a year now to provide medical care on site to these individuals that live in these camps. In the midst of the COVID crisis, we have fully changed our operations to be COVID specific, meaning we are completely turning our attention to educating folks about what COVID is and how they can stay safe from it. Our goal also is to make sure that they're educated around what their options are, together with Alameda County, and also funded by the state, as you all have heard, about potentially going inside to some of these facilities. And the last thing that we've done, started in the last week, is we've actually begun to test people on site with use of mobile medical buses, again funded by Alameda County, to bring testing specifically to these areas where it's become hard and logistically a nightmare to try to transport people around for testing.
And so, just to follow up on the testing then, how much testing have you been able to do? Do you see a lot of people coming for testing? And where do they go if they want to get tested?
Sure, the testing itself, as many reports have shown, is continuing to be limited. We do not have unlimited tests. In fact, our stock right now is, with our specific operation, around 20 to 30 tests, which is being replenished as much as can be by our local suppliers. However, our testing criteria is not an all-come criteria because of the limited nature of the tests. And so what that means is that we have a testing site at our actual clinic, downtown Oakland, in a tent behind the clinic, where all comers for homelessness specifically, in coordination with Lifelong in Alameda County, are available to be tested. But again, logistically, it's a nightmare to try to transport people, as we know, which can itself be a vector for spread of disease, to a central testing site. And so, in that context, we have shifted our operations to actually bring testing to the camps, as I was mentioning.
I see. And so, if somebody tests positive, so far you have not had a positive test, is that right?
That's correct. I think in total we have done between 30 and 40 tests, and so far we do not have any positives.
But given the turnaround time for tests, I mean, are you able then to find the individual who tested positive easily? Would
So
you be or able to contact them?
currently they have a something called Operation Comfort, which has been funded by the state, passed through and organized down through Alameda County, which has done a great job to try and get that off the ground as fast as possible, as complicated as an operation as it is, for quarantine and isolation of suspected COVID cases. So what we can do is, if we have a suspected case in the field, we work closely with Alameda County and try to facilitate the explanation first to the individual about exactly what the kind of facility is, which in and of itself is a bit of a task. And then, should the patient agree that this is something that they're interested in, then coordinating transportation under the auspices of Alameda County for safe transportation, meaning a driver that's separated from the individual in the actual bus to the facility where they can quarantine. And
Oh, I
so
see.
at this time, that process has just started about a week ago. However, there are people that do not want to go into the isolation for fear of losing their belongings, maybe re-triggering past experiences that may be in incarceration or group homes, don't want to live in some sort of group environment. And for those people, we do the best we can to work with public health and themselves to find a solution that might be different, such as self-isolation in the community.
We're talking with Jason Ranking, Associate Medical Director for Lifelong Trust Clinic, a collaboration between Lifelong and Alameda County Healthcare for the Homeless. Also, Aaron Baldessari, KQED News Affordable Housing Reporter, and you, our listeners. We're talking about the increased challenges homeless people are facing during the coronavirus outbreak and shelter-in-place orders and how service providers are trying to address them. What are your questions for our guests? Give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch on Twitter and Facebook at KQED Forum or email your questions to forum@kqed.org. And Aaron, Jason Ranking was mentioning disruption of services to people. I mean, how have the business closures or the places that people go for bathrooms or showers, I mean, how has that affected the population?
Yeah, it's really tough. You know, a lot of people who are homeless living outside or even in, you know, RVs, cars, they rely on gyms, for example, to take showers that were not deemed essential services, so those have closed. Using the restroom at businesses where they that are no longer open, and food is especially a critical issue. A number of food pantries have closed down. A lot of churches have closed or reduced their services. There are still organizations that are going out and trying to do those food delivery. I know that the East Oakland Collective in Oakland obviously is doing some of that. St. Vincent de Paul, I know the Berkeley Free Clinic, we're doing some distribution, but it's tough because, you know, everyone is trying to abide by social distancing. It's hard to mobilize volunteers. It's hard to get the food from businesses who are also struggling at this time and may be less inclined to offer donations. And so it's really tough for people out there.
Mm-hmm. And also, Jason Ranking, you were mentioning that, you know, you tried to get cases of people who are showing symptoms potentially of COVID-19 to try to get them into hotels or other housing. I mean, how is that going? How is the process of moving people to hotels going? Do you feel like there's enough? Do you feel like it's a little too early to say?
This is a brand new project that started literally at the end of last week. So far, I think that all of the players have done an amazing job to try to get this project off the ground. And now it's about our messaging and how we present it to the people that can make use of this resource that's available. And so far, we have had a good opportunity to put probably upwards of 10 to 20 people inside of the facility, and it grows by every day.
And what about in other parts of the Bay Area, Aaron Baldessari? I mean, several counties, San Francisco, Santa Clara, they've begun offering hotel rooms. Do you know if the process of being able to transition people to those hotel rooms, RVs, or other shelters, if that's going smoothly, and if advocates feel like there's enough temporary housing for the population?
Sure. Well, in San Francisco, there's been a huge kind of rallying cry amongst advocates to push for more hotel rooms. You know, what I've been hearing from folks is that, you know, look, there are 30,000 vacant hotel rooms in San Francisco right now. Why can't we get more people into them? San Francisco has, as of Wednesday, had about 1,000 beds available. They had about 123 of those occupied. In Santa Clara County, they have about 172 hotel rooms. And then in Alameda County, as Jason mentioned, there was the Operation Comfort, which is 104 rooms. And then Alameda County also just as of Wednesday or Thursday opened up a second hotel room that has 289 rooms. But, you know, although it's frustrating for folks who see these vacant hotel rooms and say, why can't we just get more people into them? It's a huge undertaking to staff those hotel rooms, to get them up and running. A ton of logistical details that need to be worked out. In my conversation, I spoke with officials from Alameda County on Wednesday who were telling me about their experience opening the hotel room, the two hotels in Oakland that opened up recently. And it's just, you know, they have to coordinate between state, city, county officials. They had to hire 40 full-time staff to act as social service workers to basically interface, not face-to-face, but to talk with, the hotel guests about what they need, ensure that people don't need to leave for any reason. So that's setting up food, figuring out how to handle housekeeping, how to accommodate people's pets, how to allow people to take smoke breaks, to accommodate people's needs as far as opiate or alcohol addiction,
also supportive services.
Health support services. It's a massive, massive undertaking.
And again, Erin Baldessari is our affordable housing reporter at KQED, and Jason Reiking is Associate Medical Director at Lifelong Trust Clinic in Alameda County. And if you're a homeless services provider, someone who's experiencing homelessness, or have questions for our guests, again, that number, 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. At KQED Forum is how you get in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook, and email forum@kqed.org if you prefer to email your questions and comments. And Jason Reiking, this person would like to know whether or not you have enough PPE to protect yourself, personal protective equipment.
That's a great question. I know all hospitals and clinics are certainly running low. At this time, our nurses and physicians do have enough PPE that's provided by Lifelong. However, we continue to always look for extra supplies, which I know our procurement department is doing.
And Erin Baldessari, we had heard earlier about the case of the first death of a homeless person in Santa Clara County. Do you know what the general numbers have been in the Bay Area right now in terms of positive cases? And is that still the only death?
That's the only death that we know of, that we've heard about. As far as people who are homeless who may have tested positive for coronavirus, the San Francisco case was the second case that we know of. Of course, you know, it's unclear whether folks who are living in camp communities and tents, as Jason mentioned earlier, are getting the testing that they need to know whether people are testing positive or not. So that can be sort of a tricky number to track, but so far the numbers have been relatively low, and maybe Jason can talk a little bit about how many of the test results they've gotten back, because I know there was a kind of a lag in the time it took to get test results back.
Oh, the actual results themselves.
Mm-hmm.
What was that lag time, Jason?
That's right. The lag time starting about 2 weeks ago was around 5 to 8 days, and there's been national articles on labs like Quest who are backlogged in the hundreds of thousands of tests that are waiting to be done. And we worked with the county to switch our testing to the Department of Public Health. And it seems in the last few days that our turnaround times have much improved, are now somewhere in the 2 to 4 day period. So whenever these results are reported, it's important to know that there is a lag time. However, that lag time is decreasing.
Well, let me go to Judy in San Rafael. Hi, Judy.
Good morning. I'm calling in regards to just the subject that you're talking about. In January, I guess right after Christmas, the homeless community here has had a friend who died at 37. And they weren't really positive about his cause of death. They were just getting to learn about the virus. And I truly believe now that this person did have that virus. He was 37 and he had terrible respiratory problems. He'd just come out of the hospital. And about 2 weeks later, he died. So that means that there's a whole lot of people that were around him. He was a very popular person that everybody loved and could be infected if he did have that. And so they aren't prioritizing, but I know that they have limitations on what's available as far as testing goes. I follow it every day. But it's really needed to be done in this particular area with the homeless because they could be infecting the whole world from just being out there and where others aren't. And I'm wondering if there can be a priority and if the state overrides the county, if the county isn't able or can't do it. I know that they're bringing in this including position right now with the National Guard and doing testing for some, which is great, but how available is that to the homeless? How are we going to get to them? Some people don't even know this is happening. We have no bathrooms here. We've had all the bathrooms taken out of here. all the restrooms, everything for several years now. There's nowhere for us to get fresh running water. It's a real problem.
Well, Judy, I'm sorry to hear about your friend, and it sounds like you feel like there needs to be a lot more testing done. I mean, Jason Reinking, any thoughts about the state effort to try to get more testing for the population?
Yeah, I think the caller brings up a great point. I will say that an example of the response of local officials to this has been the allowance of the Department of Public Health in Alameda County to take all of our tests from homelessness, which in the beginning of this crisis wasn't an option. And so that's been a major changer for us as it's brought down our turnaround time. I do want to mention something that the caller said, and that's that we are all in this together as one big community here in the Bay Area and, of course, the United States. And when there's a reservoir of potential infection for any community, it affects all of us. And the caller mentioned, are there any special reasons and that why we should be focusing on the homeless in this? And I think that's a great point, because the homeless are a potential reservoir which can affect all of us. This is a population with 80% are known to have multiple comorbidities. These are people who are at just baseline, very sick, and it puts them at very high risk for a devastating effect from this disease. And so we should pay close attention to exactly what's happening with the homelessness, as it's a risk not just to themselves but to our greater community.
Well, let me go to Wendell in South San Francisco. Hi, Wendell.
Hi. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, my main question is, there's a lot of us that work like myself, and we can't find housing, and we're exposing ourselves to, you know, the possibility of acquiring the virus. And as the doctor said, you know, there's some of us that have underlying health issues that could potentially be our death sentence. Is there anything that you folks know, or where working homeless folks can try to get assistance?
And Wendell, thanks. In terms of the rules for getting people housed at this time, in most counties, do you have to be showing symptoms of COVID-19, Erin?
So in Alameda County, the two hotel rooms, Operation Comfort, is just for people who have symptoms or have either tested positive or are showing symptoms and are awaiting test results. They just opened a second hotel that is for people with underlying health conditions who are over 60, who are living in shelters, other congregate settings like a single room occupancy hotel, or unsheltered, who need to be brought inside because they are at risk. To get a referral to be able to refer to those hotels, the county is working with service providers and a particular set of service providers to make those referrals. And so that can be kind of a tricky thing, because you have to be with the right organization in order to get that referral.
Well, in the meantime, Governor Newsom is expected to announce a state effort to protect homeless people today. We'll be interested in seeing what that involves. Erin Baldessari and Jason Reinking, thanks for joining us. I'm Mina Kim.
Thanks.
Stay with us for more.
Thank you.